Today we're talking with Jenny Yip, who is the Executive Director of the Renewed Freedom Center for Rapid Anxiety Relief, a division of Strategic Cognitive Behavioral Institute Incorporated in Los Angeles, California. Our topic today is understanding anxiety in children. Dr. Yip, what are the challenges a mental health professional faces in diagnosing anxiety disorders in children?
Well, first of all, thank you, Jean, for having me here. Although anxiety disorders overall are the most common mental, emotional, and behavioral problems to occur during childhood and adolescence, it's not always the most apparent diagnosis. Unlike inattentive or hyperactive behaviors in ADHD or behavioral outbursts in oppositional defiant disorder, anxiety is a result of the body's elevated fight or flight response. So symptoms typically involve physiological discomfort and overall feelings of being on edge. However, since symptoms occur internally and are not always apparent, anxiety can manifest in various ways that can result in a wrong diagnosis.
So what other disorders might anxiety manifest as to cause confusion or an inappropriate diagnosis?
Well, when kids don't have an understanding of why their bodies are feeling the way they do and they don't have the tools to manage the heightened fight-or-flight response, they may behave in ways that appear as though they're suffering from another condition, when in fact anxiety is the culprit if you look at the underlying cause to the behaviors. For instance, a girl who's a germaphobe may be so wrapped up by the kid next to her who's picking his nose that she isn't able to pay attention to class. She may also be fidgety as she's feeling grossed out by this kid, that she can't sit still and runs out of the class. Now, on the surface, she may appear to have ADHD. However, if you look deeper at the reasons for the behaviors, they're anxiety related to her contamination fears. Also, kids suffering from intense anxiety often throw temper tantrums that are so severe that they appear to be oppositional defiant. They can go to extremes of shouting bloody murder at family members, throwing themselves against walls and furniture, or even flinging objects and becoming violent. This is often made worse when parents are taught to put the child on a behavior modification program for misbehaviors when the actual problem is anxiety. Since kids look to their primary caretakers to protect them from harm, putting a child on behavior modification for not understanding anxiety or how to manage it is more of a punishment. OCD is often another diagnosis that is overlooked. The rigidity of compulsions may appear as stereotypical behaviors in autism spectrum, while perfectionism and persistence also commonly occur in giftedness. Also, chronic elevations of the fight-or-flight response raises blood pressure and heart rate and can cause a multitude of bodily complaints such as vomiting, stomach pain, diarrhea, fatigue, and even ulcers, among other things. Again, it's always important to understand why a child is behaving the way he or she is, rather than just taking the surface behaviors for face value.
How young can a child be diagnosed with OCD or other anxiety disorders?
Well, anxiety disorders can occur at any time. Most of the kids we see at the Renewed Freedom Center are 5 and up. However, many of them were previously misdiagnosed and given unhelpful treatments for many months before finding us. Our youngest child was a 3-year-old with full-blown OCD. Luckily, his parents were both psychologists, recognized the symptoms, and got him the proper interventions immediately.
Can you address the harm that a wrong diagnosis can do to a child?
Well, first of all, if a child is given a wrong diagnosis, the child may be given medications that are unnecessary and produce harmful effects. For example, a lot of kids these days are being placed on SSRIs that are unnecessary and can potentially be dangerous. Another problem to giving a child a wrong diagnosis is that they won't be given the treatment that would be effective for their needs. And when a child goes through treatment after treatment and not getting the results that he or she need, the child can become demoralized and feel that treatment isn't going to be helpful. One other thing is that we're prolonging the necessary suffering of the child. So obviously, giving the child the correct diagnosis is the most important way so that the child can find relief.
As a therapist, how do you go about assessing a child's disorder and making a diagnosis and providing effective treatment?
Well, treatment is individually tailored to the child's specific needs following a thorough evaluation and an accurate diagnosis at the Renewed Freedom Center. CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, and more specifically, systematic and prolonged exposures is the evidence-based treatment for anxiety disorders. This means that we devise ways for sufferers to confront their fears so that the fears lose their power. You have to understand that the more you avoid fears, the bigger they become. That's just common logic. However, even under the umbrella of anxiety disorders, panic disorder to OCD, each diagnosis has a different exposure strategy. So it's vital to have an accurate diagnosis from a comprehensive evaluation. A thorough assessment will always include questions of specific external or situational triggers, as well as internal physiological cues. And we always ask parents to be observant and document any positive or negative behavioral changes in the child so that we can establish an accurate diagnosis. For children, it's absolutely necessary to determine family dynamics and how family members respond to or are involved in the child's anxiety. Anxiety doesn't just affect an individual without causing havoc on the whole family, so treating a child will typically involve family members as well.
What are some signs of anxiety that parents should watch out for in their own children?
Well, there are many red flags to watch for, and again, the importance is understanding the underlying cause of the behavioral manifestations. However, some red flags to watch for include a sudden drop in grades or school performance, avoidance of certain places, objects, or people, refusal to go to school or participate in social events with friends and peers oftentimes can signal that they're experiencing embarrassment from the anxiety that they're feeling inside. Kids spending an inordinately long time spending completing homework assignments. They can be ritualizing or trying to be perfect in their homework. Difficulty concentrating at school, again, this is the inattentiveness and may not absolutely be related to ADHD. Difficulty with public speaking, reading aloud, or being called on in class, perhaps due to perfectionistic needs or feeling rejection or being criticized. Overly concerned with negative evaluation, humiliation, or embarrassment, again, due to social or performance anxiety, social isolation or withdrawal from peers, avoiding eye contact, recurrent fears that something bad will happen to a family member or loved one, which is related to obsessive-compulsive disorder, and also any repetitive or ritualistic behaviors that has to be completed. Any clinginess to parents or other major attachment figure can be a sign of separation anxiety. Frequent nightmares can also indicate that the child is experiencing a lot of anxiety. Hesitance, passivity, and discomfort, and even extreme distress or tantrums can, again, be a signal of anxiety. Lastly, frequent headaches, stomach aches, nausea, or vomiting can be the result of the increased fight-or-flight response that causes many gastrointestinal disturbances.
How are treatment strategies different or similar for the variety of diagnoses? And let me ask you also, if kids have more than one disorder, which I think is common.
Sure. Well, again, anxiety disorders rarely occur by itself. So when you have a child with obsessive-compulsive disorder, that child may often have another anxiety diagnosis, such as panic disorder or social anxiety. And the child is also more vulnerable to other childhood disorders, ADHD, oppositional defiance, autism spectrum. So it's really important to understand, again, the underlying cause for each of those behavioral manifestations so that you can tailor a treatment plan that's appropriate for each of those symptom presentations. Treatment for anxiety requires, again, systematic and prolonged exposures that are very effective, direct, and short-term. It isn't talk therapy or play therapy. We don't dig into childhood memories, and it's not behavioral modification. Strategies for ADHD, oppositional defiance, autism spectrum, and giftedness are different, though, in that they involve more behavioral modification and don't require exposures. However, although exposure-based cognitive behavior therapy is the empirically validated treatment for anxiety disorders, as indicated by the National Institute of Mental Health, there are still clinicians out there who disregard that fact when treating anxiety disorders, which is just unethical. It's heartbreaking when I hear of patients who spend 3 years of therapy unrelated to exposures and have to continue to suffer needlessly. If you had a specific medical disease, you'd go to a specialist rather than your general practitioner. You'd see a cardiologist for heart disease or an oncologist for cancer. Unfortunately, because the mental health field isn't as specific, many consumers don't have the information they need to seek proper treatment from a true anxiety specialist.
Let me back up just a little bit and ask you if you can elaborate and explain what giftedness is.
Giftedness, or now the term is twice exceptional children, are kids who have variable types of skills. So they can be exceptionally high, having adult capacity, for example, in emotional understanding. However, they may be lower or average on other parts of their skill set. So therefore, this is considered giftedness. However, this group of kids generally have a lot of similar presentations to children with obsessive compulsive disorder. For example, they tend to talk about they tend to be very, very persistent in getting their way, getting things done. They're relentless, which can be seen as ritualistic compulsions. Another factor is that they're very, very perfectionistic, which can be seen as part of obsessive compulsive disorder and the need for everything to be just so and just perfect. Another criteria that may seem like autism spectrum is that they have very specific interests. So, for example, a child may be talking about world events and can go on and on and on and on talking about that one topic, and this can be seen more on the autism spectrum. So gifted kids, there's still a lot of research being done in this area. However, they are commonly misdiagnosed as having one of the other disorders.
What would you like to see in terms of future research in the area of children and anxiety disorders and related disorders?
Sure. Well, again, it's really important to include family members into the treatment when we're working with children. It's rare that family members are not involved in the child's ritualistic behaviors or reassurances. And part of treatment is really teaching parents how to be supportive of their child without enabling the condition. However, there isn't a lot of research in this area about how to involve family members or how to what is the best effective approach to include family members. So I would definitely like to see more research in this area where we can come up with some sort of integrative protocol and see evidence-based treatment for family of children with anxiety disorders.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Yip. Very helpful.
Thank you, Jean.
This is Jean Kaplan-Tycho for ADAA.